All right, on this episode of Bouts Talking Bouts, got to give a big shout out to the sponsors as per usual. Sovereign Extracts, putting out some great CBD oils, a lot of cartridges, THC, CBD, hybrid options as well. Also, I want to shout out USG Canada, putting out great apparel for boxers, MMA fighters, and for fans alike. And we've got a big fight going at XFC 43. It's happening on November the 11th. It's a lightweight bout going on between Dewan Owens and Scott Hudson, and I've got Scott on the show. How's your day going, man? You get some good training in today, or what's today look like in that regard?
You just got me coming back from my second training session. We had some, you know, pad work with my coach this morning. Came home and relaxed for a couple hours, and then did my sprints because we're coming close. We're a couple weeks out, so just, you know, a little bit of a lighter day, but I'm still getting in my 2-a-days.
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned working with your coach there. Like, who are you working with on a coaching level and sparring partner level ahead of this fight here?
Well, I mean, just because of, like, the pandemic, it's not – training partners and, like, training environment isn't ideal. Yeah. But we're doing the best we can. I'm still getting good work with all of my guys in. It's just maybe a little bit less variety, and it takes a little bit more planning into your training sessions. But my coach has been doing a good job taking care of that for me.
Yeah, for sure. Good to have people like that in your corner. But I'm kind of wondering when this, you know, offer and opportunity initially came your way. I mean, this is an 8-man tournament spread over a few events here, some real, you know, top lightweights in the world. Like, when did this opportunity initially get on your radar?
Something came up. Like, I heard some rumblings about it sort of when they were putting it together, but I wasn't really sure. And they actually reached out to me about being in the welterweight tournament, and I said no to welterweight just because I was staying a little bit lighter, and you know, if it's a tournament and you don't really know, you know, you don't have any control over the matchmaking, despite the fact that I like the idea of that, but you don't have a say in who you're fighting. I wanted to put my best foot forward and come in at the, you know, sort of the more beneficial weight class for me. And so I said no. And then I saw they made an Instagram post saying, like, you know, who do you want to see XFC sign? And I put that in my Instagram story and just said, hey, if you want to see me fight for these guys, you know, big promotion in the States, a lot of exposure, tag me in the comment section of this post. And that kind of blew up a little bit. Obviously, they took notice with a lot of my friends and my fans and my followers, you know, jumping on that ship. And they reached out to me with a lightweight spot. Lo and behold, one magically pops up, right? And that's kind of how I got on the tournament. And I drew Dewan Owens in the first round, which is, you know, a matchup that I'm really excited about.
Yeah, because I was even seeing, like, circa May 30th that you'd put up something where you were saying, oh, 3 years ago today, the last time I made 155, who wants to see me back at lightweight? So good to see this opportunity come to fruition with, like, the backdrop of that kind of stuff.
Sorry, can you repeat that, Don?
Oh, yeah, no worries. I was just saying I'd seen you put up a post saying that it had been 3 years since you last made 155. I think you post that towards the end of May there. I believe it was that Joe Elmore fight that was your last one at lightweight.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, if, you know, BTC was still going to promote, like, a super lightweight division, that's ideally where I'd like to be. And hopefully that opens up, you know, worldwide a little bit more in the near future. I think that it's getting to the point now where it's not, because, you know, lightweight is a big cut for me. And I think I'm just a little bit too small to hang with some of the big boys that, you know, 170s elite, and so I'm going to go back down to 55. I was staying in pretty good shape, and I was staying a little bit lighter, so it wasn't, like, a big stress for me. But, yeah, I mean, like, I think that's it's a fine weight class. I think that 65 would be a little bit more comfortable, but, you know, you got to do what you got to do. You know, I chose this weight class, and, you know, I'm excited to make my return.
Yeah, for sure. I have a similar sentiment, hoping that 165 can become a regular sort of instantiated weight class in the sport. But you mentioned being excited for the DeJuan Owens rematch, or the matchup rather, before a veteran of over 30 fights, you know, been in there with some real tough guys like, you know, Marlon Vera and Nate Landwehr, Tristan Connolly. Was this a fight that you'd wanted for a decent while? Like, has he been on your radar for a meaningful period of time, or not so much?
Well, he fought up in Canada a couple times. Like, he fought Tristan Connolly in Tristan's last fight before the UFC. Yeah. And I came close to getting that fight that Tristan got. So, I have, like, a connection with him. And so it's, I knew of DeJuan just because of he's fought in my country before. He's fought, arguably one of the better lightweights in the country. So I'm paying attention. He gave him a tough fight. And I think it's really advantageous for me. If I can go out there and, like, put DeJuan away and make it look easy, I think that does really good things for me, given, DeJuan's most recent couple performances.
Yeah, it's an exciting fight. It's one that I'm definitely looking forward to. But I was kind of checking out the social media for you a little bit there, and I was seeing that after 4 years, your time coaching at Burlington Training Center has come to an end, and it seemed like you had like a really great run there and enjoyed the whole dynamic. I'm kind of curious what precipitated that, I guess, move from Burlington Training Center. Is it more of just like a wanting to allocate all of your focus to the competitive career, or like what motivated that, I suppose?
Oh, no, they fired me. I didn't leave.
Oh, that's curious. I thought it was like, oh, okay. I thought it was more of a decision to kind of go off and...
I'm not going to go online and be like, oh, hey, guys, I got fired, blah, blah, blah. But that's what happened. They fired me. It wasn't that I left. It wasn't mutual. We had some disagreements over money. And, if they feel like that's the best move for them, then, be my guest. But so I partnered up with Bobby Poulter, and we opened up our own spot. Not only, a place for him and I to train, because we both have professional careers, but we also train clients and coach our own guys out of there as well. And so far it's been, exceeded my expectations. The, quality of life that I've been leading, over the past 3 months or 2.5 months, despite pandemic life, has been fantastic. So, that's what happened there.
Yeah, sorry about bringing that up, man. I thought it was more of a casual kind of dynamic. I didn't think it was anything like that. But... Yeah, but good to hear you and Bobby Poulter are getting some things rolling. I mean, he's a talented guy for sure, and seems very thorough and whatnot. But, I mean, it's just great to see you out there and kind of doing the thing. But, I mean, mentioning the last... I kind of wanted to talk about the last fight here, because it seemed like a great moment getting in there with Gerald Askew and defend that, super lightweight title and just kind of competing in Niagara Falls and whatnot. What was the BTC8 experience like, just in as far as like getting out there and just the actual fight itself and the competitive dynamics there?
It was fantastic. It was a good event. I was really psyched on the opponent. Jarrell is super battle tested. He's a good opponent. He's tall. I was happy with my performance. I feel like I went out there and I was dominant. I won every round. I did damage. I did what I wanted to do in there. He, gave me a lot of challenges that I was able to work through. I was not feeling very good going into that fight. I had the flu, so things weren't ideal. So it meant a lot to me to go out there on sort of my worst day and handle my business. But that's what we train for.
Yeah, exactly. Just pushing through some difficult moments and whatnot. But it was kind of a curious thing too. I was seeing also that Parabellum was in a situation where they have to like leave the location and stuff like that, and it seemed like that was an impactful thing for you, just beyond even like the martial arts journey and just a lot of key aspects of your life. So what has that whole experience been like with Parabellum? I imagine you still see certain people like Lyndon Whitlock and certain guys like that, but like what's that dynamic been like?
Well, yeah, so, a couple months ago, or probably hasn't even been 2 months, maybe like a month ago, my gym that I've been training at for 6 or 7 years more is closed down, right? They just decided to hunker down and not burn themselves through this pandemic anymore, because people are really, losing their livelihoods, and there's just no money in it if you can't run a full martial arts school, right? So they're shutting down. But between my place and Lucas and Lyndon have sort of like a private, smaller private training facility that I've been working out of. I'm still with Lyndon every day and getting my work in. I've been going out to Niagara Top Team a couple times a week for the past like 3 or 4 months, and working with my coach Chris Prickett and his crew of fighters out there, which has been fantastic. You know, a little bit more travel, a little bit more, you know, logistics involved, but it's, you know, it's okay, man. Like, I'm just, you know, I want to stay positive. I want to make the best of this situation. I keep telling people that, you know, there's way more people that are in a way worse situation than me. I can't speak for anybody else, but, you know, it hasn't been all negative for me, so I'm just going to roll with the punches and, you know, just, yeah, I'm a pretty optimistic guy. I just want to make the best out of my situation and, you know, have fun training, being on the mats, and, you know, living my life. I'm not gonna let a little pandemic keep me down.
Yeah, you're an optimistic guy, and I kind of feel bad asking some downer questions, but I'd almost be remiss if I didn't bring it up. But the Niagara Top Team dynamic is very cool, though. I imagine the wrestling game has leveled up even more than the skills you already have, just with Chris Prickett and all those guys.
Yeah, well, Chris Prickett has been like my wrestling coach for a few years now. He's been the wrestling coach for Para's pro team, and he's been bringing his guys out to us for years and years now. And he's a great coach. He's an awesome guy. He's really well respected, and you know, for my the wrestling in my game, he's been fantastic. It's all those guys have a great grappling base, and I mean, nothing has really changed for me. I'm just trying to build on, you know, what I've already accomplished with him and, you know, all my coaches, all my training partners. Like, somebody was asking me, you know, have you gotten better in the pandemic or, you know, in between your last fights? And the truth is, it's you have no way of knowing that until you compete, right? So until I go out there and show it, I can say whatever I want. It doesn't mean shit. I got to go out there and, you know, show it. So yes, I feel like I'm a better fighter. I feel like my wrestling is better. I feel like I'm better everywhere. I'm in, you know, awesome shape as always, but that doesn't mean anything until I go out there and, you know, show my stones.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a curious kind of dynamic. Is that sort of nerve-wracking in a way, or is it kind of freeing almost, where it's just like I'll be able to feel it comprehensively when I'm out there?
You mean like with the layoff?
Yeah, I mean, just hearing you say, like, you don't necessarily know unless you're actually in the competition itself. I feel like for some people that could be a nerve-wracking thing, but then conversely for some people it could be like a freeing sort of thing almost, like maybe not overthink it until you're actually in the competition itself. Like, is there a particular side you go on in that regard, or?
I mean, you know, I definitely feel more comfortable when I'm more active, but I've had time to... Again, like I've had time to improve. Fighting is not ideal. You can't lean towards an ideal situation in professional prize fighting. You know what I mean? It's always going to be hard. That's the name of the game. So if you are a little uncomfortable with, you know, things not being ideal for you, or having a little bit too long between fights, or maybe even a little bit too short between fights, like maybe this isn't the sport for you. So stuff like that doesn't necessarily faze me. I'm just happy to go out there and compete.
Yeah, for sure, and that definitely speaks to, you know, the championship mentality overall and stuff like that, man. So that's a good way to be, for sure. But I was also noticing you had a post a few weeks ago where you were saying, just over 4 years ago, I was living in a tent in the jungle. How long were you living in a tent in the jungle for, and what was that experience like?
Okay, so I used to live in Thailand. So in 2015, I was training. I got sponsored by Team Quest Thailand, like the gym in northern Thailand. And it's, you know, an affiliate of Team Quest, the famous gym from Portland, Oregon, right?
Yeah.
And so I connected with those guys, and I had a really great year of training, and it was fantastic. So how they had it worked out is that they would cover my, you know, my cost of training and my housing, right? So I wouldn't have to pay for, you know, the coaching, the you know, whatever, being part of the pro team, and they would house me. But the housing is at the gym, right? So they have like an open air area upstairs, right?
Yeah.
And it's, you can like lay down a mosquito net if you want. The tent is for like bugs. right? So technically I was under a roof, but I was living in a tent because it keeps the bugs out. It's not like there was sealed windows or anything in there. You know what I mean? It's a crazy setup. Like, next time, if I ever see you, I'll show you some pictures and stuff like that, but it was just, you know, some of the trainers, some of the Thai boys, some of the, you know, foreign fighters all living upstairs at the gym. Literally, you know, wake up in the morning, brush your teeth, go down and train, and that was life for a year. Actually, it wasn't a full year because my then girlfriend, now wife, was living out there with me for a bit. We had a small apartment, but nonetheless, living in a tent life. We used to call it Tent City.
Was that like a curious time? Like, was that an enjoyable thing? Like, how would you characterize that whole experience? Like, is it something you appreciate now with the backdrop of being situated more so in like a house kind of dynamic, or how would you characterize all that?
Man, like, even while I was going through it, I remember being so happy, you know, doing what you love every day. And I'm still, you know, I still carry that same mentality. I'm happy, obviously, now, like, financially, I'm in a way better place. I don't have to live in a tent. I can actually buy my own house and shit. But, you know, that's the name of the game out there. Like, one thing it taught me is that, like, you need to follow your heart, because you can be really happy with very little. You know what I mean? And that was a massive, massive takeaway for me, spending time out there. And I had traveled to Thailand before, but I really had to, like, spread myself thin during this year to make it work for myself. And, yeah, we didn't have much, but I was doing what I loved every day. I had enough, and I was competing. I was doing Muay Thai. I was traveling all over Southeast Asia, and it was, you know, even to this day, and I'm sure for the rest of my life, I'm going to remember it as one of the best times of my life. I was, you know, there were some good guys from Canada that I was training with. There were some good guys, you know, from all over the world, the United States, New Zealand, all over the place, Australia.
Yeah, I love that experience, and I appreciate you giving me the backstory on that. I just thought to ask, because that seemed like a curious kind of caption that I wouldn't want to let slide, you know what I mean? But it's kind of interesting that you described the passion associated with all of that and just the mentality, because I remember when we did our first interview there after BTC6, you described yourself as happy as a pig in shit, so it seems like that dynamic still persists, you know? Yeah, it's great to see, but I appreciate you making the time, and I want to be mindful of the rest of your schedule, Scott. So is there anything you want to add as a parting thought as we're wrapping up?
Not yet. Just if you're listening to this, I want you to tune in to NBC Sports on November 11th and, you know, watch me compete. There's not a ton of content out there, so make sure that when it's there, you pay attention to it. Like, this is going to be a fantastic event with high-level MMA. And it's going to be, you know, especially if you're in the States, it's on cable television. So make sure if you're listening to this and you're in the States, or you follow me, or if you're in Canada, find a way to stream the channel, because it's going to be a great event. And it's not every day you can just turn on your TV on a Wednesday night and, you know, see world class cage fighting.
Yeah, it's a killer card all around. XFC 43 going down on November the 11th, and we've got a lightweight bout between Dewan Owens and Scott Hudson, part of that great card. And just really appreciate you making some time to speak to me before this big fight here, man. Hopefully you have a great remainder of the camp here, preparing for everything, and just also enjoy the rest of your day too, man.
Anytime, Dylan.